Amen. God is here this morning. Nothing like his presence in the room. Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, as we continue our Sunday morning series through the book of Hebrews, primarily looking at this book from the aspect of endurance. Endurance. We're basing this sermon series on Hebrews 10:36, for we need endurance in order to do God's will and receive what is promised. The author of this book also tells us in Hebrews 12 to run with endurance the race that is set before us, that who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross. And then in verse 3 of chapter 12, think of him, Jesus, who endured. Endurance is absolutely necessary to receive all that God has promised to us and to do the will of God. So when we come to Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, a couple of introductory remarks. First of all, this chapter is pretty much based on Psalm 95. The author is taking Psalm 95 and he's going to build his message around Psalm 95 from the Old Testament. Second, he's using the example of the Israelites to spur us on to endurance. He is saying to us, as he did to his readers many years ago, a very familiar story, that the Israelites were delivered from Egypt out of slavery under the leadership of Moses. Okay? In a sense, they were saved out of Egypt. But when God saves his people, he's not just saving us out of something, he's saving us into something. And what he had for the Israelites was this promised land. And you and I know the story. That generation did not endure. They did not persevere. Therefore, they did not enter into the promised land. That was left for another generation that followed them. They all died in the wilderness because they did not endure. They had faith to begin with, but not faith that endured. They had faith enough, in a sense, to allow God to save them initially, but that faith did not persevere. And the author of Hebrews is saying the same thing can happen to us. We can embrace Christ as our Savior. We can get started on our Christian life. But somewhere along the line, we can become faithless and turn away from God and not ever experience all that God has for us, in a sense, our promised land. And let me also say this. The promised land does not equate to heaven. I remember when I was a child even, and a young Christian growing up in my home church, I had pastors and teachers that would teach that the promised land, you know, was equal to heaven. No, it's not. It is equated to the victorious Christian life. You see, when we get to heaven, there's no battles anymore like there was when Joshua went in, and there's no more enemies to have to push out. The promised land was illustrating victory, that there will be obstacles and opposition and all of that to experiencing all that God has for us, but that through Christ we are more than conquerors, that we can be victorious instead of facing defeat, that we can be overcomers. And that's what the promised land is all about, taking all the ground that God has for us, but realizing there will be battles and trials and struggles ahead, which means we need to endure. So in this chapter, the author of Hebrews is giving us three partnerships. Three partnerships. And he's saying these partnerships that God gives to us are things that we must make sure that we establish and maintain and nurture throughout our journey so that we can endure. Because each of these partnerships plays a huge role in our being able to endure and persevere throughout our Christian life. So I actually want to begin in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3. And the first partnership I want us to see is the partnership that we should have with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells every one of us as a Christian, the Bible teaches us. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then is our comforter, our helper, our guide, our teacher, the one who teaches us all things and brings all things to our remembrance, the parakaleo, the one who comes alongside of us and aids and assists and supports, right? We are to have a partnership with the God who lives within us, you see. Are you living in that partnership every day? And notice in verse 7 and verse 8, what the author says. Again, quoting from Psalm 95. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, oh, today that you would listen as he speaks. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of testing in the wilderness. Couple of things. First of all, note that the author is reminding us when we open up the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, we're actually hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to us. God is speaking to us. This isn't some man, some woman speaking to us. This is the third person of the Trinity. This is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us. And he spoke through the Old Testament, just as he speaks today, through the New Testament. And just as he spoke thousands of years ago to those original recipients of Psalm 95 from David, it's just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. Because people are the same and God is still speaking. So think about it. The Holy Spirit is able to take the Word of God and speak to his people throughout history. Oh, come on, brother. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us? And oh, by the way, notice that he primarily speaks through his Word. Why would the Holy Spirit bother to speak to us beyond his Word or in addition to his Word if we're not even listening to his Word? Starts there. Are we partnering with the Spirit and allowing him to speak to us? Are we listening to him today as he speaks to us? And by the way, the word listen here means to hear and know that God is speaking and to appropriately respond to his voice. He repeats this. Notice verse 15 of chapter 3. As it says, oh, that today you would listen as he speaks. Do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. See, when we open up the Bible or when we hear the Bible taught, we are listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And are we then responding appropriately to God speaking to us? Notice something else the author uses here by quoting Psalm 95. He emphasizes the word today in verse 7 and in verse 15, and we're going to see it later on as well. Today. Today's the day, my friends. Amen. And what this word means is that God is giving us a window of opportunity today that must not be presumed upon or postponed. You see, the Bible is teaching us that the Holy Spirit gets our attention at times through worship, through the Word, through his presence, being here, moving, active, stirring. And it's at these moments that we need to respond instead of saying, you know, I'll respond, you know, when I get home, or I'll respond tomorrow, or no. He's got us in this moment, in this day, and he's saying, don't put off what I'm speaking to you about. And don't presume that this opportunity is going to come back around if you push it away. Because there are moments in our life where the Holy Spirit has us, and we're, you know, our hearts are prepared. The soil of our heart is prepared to hear what he has for us. And we are spiritually, emotionally, and physically engaged with him. And it's like, this is the moment. And God is saying, don't let this moment pass. Don't think you're going to get this moment again. And so today, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we, throughout our lives, are partnering with the God who literally lives inside of us every day. I mean, literally, there's nothing we can do, nowhere we can go, where the Holy Spirit is not with us. Are we partnering with him? Letting him teach us, guide us, help us, comfort us. This is why he was given to us, Jesus says. So that he literally could come into our being and be with us every second of our entire life and literally partner with us in everything, you see. To do things by the power of the Spirit, with the enablement of the Spirit, with the wisdom of the Spirit. I mean, over and over. It's endless because he's the Holy Spirit. He's God. Amen. Just like the Father and the Son. There's no end to the Holy Spirit. He's the Almighty God, just like Jesus the Son and God the Father is. So are we partnering with the Holy Spirit? But there's another partnership that is vital to our endurance, and that is our partnership with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In chapter 3, verse 1, notice this phrase. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling. Do you realize that God designed us to live in partnership with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? And we're going to see part of what that means today. Go down with me now to verse 12. And I don't want to go past the first three words because they are significant. See to it, brothers and sisters. The words see to it means to be watchful, vigilant to a very real possibility. Something that all of us are susceptible or vulnerable to. And what is that very real possibility? Well, let's go on. That none of you has an evil, unbelieving heart that forsakes the living God. That you may become, none of you may become hardened, verse 12 or verse 13, by sin's deception. Notice he uses the word none, meaning any of us and all of us are susceptible or vulnerable to, first of all, forsaking the living God, and second of all, to become hardened by sin's deception. There's nobody above that. There are Christians that feel like, that could never happen to me. To forsake the living God means to become faithless, to turn away from God. And isn't that exactly what the Israelites did? Again, they had faith to trust Moses and the God who was leading Moses to lead them out of Egypt to be delivered, to be saved. But they lost that faith somewhere along the way, which is why they never entered the promised land. Same thing could be true of us. Yes. We could trust God one day and the next day not. In fact, that happens sometimes, right? So all of us are vulnerable, susceptible to becoming faithless in our life. And by the way, How does the Bible say we increase our faith or strengthen our faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. The word hardened means to become insensitive and resistant to God's voice. And again, there's not a one of us that could not become insensitive or resistant to God's voice. In our life, or even in the life of others, all of us know of situations or examples of people that at one time they were a faithful Christian, but they're not any longer. At one time, they were on fire for God, but they're not any longer. At one time, they were serving in church and vital in a local church ministry, but they're not any longer. At one time, they prioritized worship and prayer and the Word, but they don't anymore. We all know of examples like that. Of people who started strong, but didn't finish strong. And the author of Hebrews is saying, basically, it's more important how you finish the race than how you start. Because so many start well, but they don't endure, they don't persevere, because they're not partnering with the Holy Spirit, and because they haven't ever learned or prioritized that they must find a partner and a brother or sister in Christ. Because notice what he says in the midst of all this. But, verse 13, exhort one another, one of the many one another phrases in the New Testament. Exhort one another, how often? Every single day. As long as it is called what? Today. Again, don't postpone. Don't presume. God is giving you and I windows of opportunity to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to strengthen one another, to be alongside of one another, to help one another, to endure. Don't put it off. Do it today. Or else we also might find ourselves becoming hardened or beginning to forsake and become faithless in relationship to our living God. The word exhort is the same word it is used to describe the Holy Spirit. Again, the parakaleo, the one who comes alongside to help, the one who comes alongside to encourage and to strengthen. And notice, the author is saying, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit, but we also need to partner with a brother and sister in Christ. We need to at least have one brother or sister in Christ that we are mutually encouraging and strengthening one another every single day. Let me ask you, do you have another Christian brother or sister in Christ that encourages and strengthens you every single day? Do you have someone in your life that you encourage and strengthen every single day? You say, oh, I don't need it every day. Listen, God is saying within one 24-hour period, I could start to lose my faith. Yes. Within one 24-hour period, I could start to have a heart that starts to get hardened and resistant and insensitive to God. It doesn't take long for that process to begin. And by the way, isolating ourselves from one another and not investing in Christian relationships only accelerates the process of hardening. It is absolutely vital. That's why the early church had it right. Because what does the book of Acts teach? They were getting together, at least some of them, every single day. And yet today we live in a culture where Christians just like, I might get together with another Christian once every couple weeks or come to church every couple weeks and whatever. And you never are going to get any kind of consistency or traction or build a relationship with someone to where it ends up like this, where you're literally in a partnership with another brother or sister in Christ, where you're literally mutually encouraging and strengthening one another every single day of your life. And yet God says, this is what we all need. Not just some of us, we all need this encouragement. That's why I've told you before, I've never met a human being who said, Jeff, you never have to encourage me the rest of my life. I've got all the encouragement I need. I can just roll with it for the rest of it. No. God's saying you need encouragement whether you realize it or not. You need exhorted. You need strengthened, you see. And we need those brothers and sisters in Christ in our life who's willing to invest in that kind of relationship. And we need to be willing to invest in that kind of relationship because they're vital to our endurance. Are we allowing others to exhort us every single day while it's called today? So, the first partnership that's vital to our endurance, partnering with the Holy Spirit. The second relationship that's vital to our endurance, partnering with another brother or sister in Christ. You don't need a lot of partnerships, but you just need a couple good ones. A couple faithful ones. A couple of consistent ones that literally you're there for each other every single day of your walk with God. Because within one 24-hour period, a heart can change. Something could come into your life. Yes. And all of a sudden, things can change. But the final partnership I want us to see this morning is our partnership with Jesus. Because notice as we move on in verse 14, we have become partners with Christ if, in fact, we hold our initial confidence firm until the end. And the end just simply means the end of our earthly life, and then we go to be with Jesus. To hold our confidence in Christ is the way we partner with Christ. And notice he sort of repeats this principle back in verse 6. In the first 5 verses of chapter 3, he's basically comparing Jesus to Moses. And ultimately, he's saying, no one's more faithful than Jesus. There you go, right? Faithful. Yes, Moses was faithful to what God called him to. But Moses was only a servant of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is even more faithful than Moses. So don't put Moses up on a pedestal. If you're going to put anybody up on a pedestal, put Jesus up there. But then he says this in verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are of his house, if in fact we hold firmly to our confidence, to the hope that we take pride in. So twice in this chapter, he talks to us about, here's how we partner with Jesus, by holding firmly to the confidence that we should have in him. This phrase, hold firmly, speaks about trusting and resting in the solid foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. That we have no surer, more stable, more solid foundation in our life as a Christian than Jesus Christ and what he has told us. That's why we talk of Jesus as being our rock. He is the rock of our life. And by the way, when the Bible talks about Jesus being a rock, he's not just talking about him being like a little rock like that we have out in our backyard, or even a little bit bigger rock. It literally is a rock outcropping. Think of Gibraltar over there. That's the kind of rock that Jesus is. And we partner with Christ when we continue to trust and rest in him as our only foundation and as the surest foundation. Because if we begin not to trust and rest in him as our foundation, then we're placing ourselves on another foundation that is not as sure, not as stable, not as solid, and we won't endure living on that foundation. We won't persevere. Jesus said the exact same thing, just in a little bit different way, as he ended the Sermon on the Mount. recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. You've heard these words before. Jesus said, anyone who hears my sayings and does them, not just hears them, but does them, obeys them, follows them, they are like this kind of person. They are the kind of person that builds their house, their life, on a rock. And Jesus says, the storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. Adversity, affliction, trials, struggles. It's going to come because in this world, you're going to have trouble and suffering. But if you build your life and continue to hold firmly to me as your foundation and to what I've said, your house is going to stand. That storm is not going to knock over your life. But, Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do not do them, you do not follow, you do not obey, you do not listen as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through my word and responding in an appropriate way, then when the storms of life come, your house is going to collapse. Amen. Because it's on sand. It is not a sure, stable, solid foundation. It's going to collapse. And we all know that to be true. Whether we took ourselves off of the foundation of Jesus at some point in our life, or whether we know of others that never built their life or were not building their life upon Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden a crisis, some kind of great trial or adversity comes in, and they have no way to handle it. They have no bandwidth to be able to navigate that. They're at a loss. They just crumble. And we all even have seen that in our own world just a few years ago. The example of the pandemic, whether you were a Christian or not, when that thing swept across the world, you could see who were the people that literally were building their lives on the foundation of Jesus, and that didn't rock their world at all, or who were the ones that were panicked and in a tizzy and freaking out and everything because their life wasn't being built on that foundation. Because the Bible says if I build my life on Jesus, it doesn't even matter if mountains start to fall into the sea. I'm good. Because I don't base my security and my safety and how safe I feel and all that on what's going on around me in this world. I base it on who my life is built on, Jesus Christ. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the rock that I can build my life on. And no matter what happens to me or what comes into my life, I'm good because my foundation is sure. That's what it means to partner with Christ. That's what it means to hold firmly to our confidence, firm unto the end. To keep trusting and resting in him as my foundation. But one final way to partner with Christ in chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, take note of Jesus. In chapter 12, verse 3, the author says, think of him. That's really what these words speak to. The words take note means that Jesus should be the supreme object of concentrated reflection. How often do I concentrate on Jesus? Do I think about him? Do I ponder him? Do I reflect upon him? I think we know the principle. If any of us truly love someone or love something, we're always thinking about them or thinking about that thing. It's the priority of our, it's what fills our minds all the time. It's what we think about because it means the most to us. Well, if Jesus is our first love, if he is the priority of our life, then we're going to be thinking about him and thinking on him and putting our minds down on him more than we are any other person and any other thing. We're going to take note of him. I don't mean this in any way disrespectful to our God, or in any way do I mention this to dishonor him in any way, but just to give us a very tangible illustration that maybe you can take with you. Think of Jesus as a sticky note. Why do we use sticky notes? To remind us? Like, oh, yeah, that's something I need to take Jesus and stick him so you don't forget him. Because that's what take note of him means. And this beautifully ties in to us observing the Lord's table today at the Oasis. Because one of the purposes for Jesus having the Lord's table was what? Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Put your mind on me. Think of me. Think of what I'm doing for you. Think of what I'm about to do for you. Think of who I am that's doing this for you. Think of me. Remember me. You wouldn't think that our Savior and our Lord would have to say, I need to remind you guys about me over here because you forget about me. But it's true. We fill our minds and we get so distracted, and our minds are filled with so many other things that, like, Jesus somehow gets lost. And the author is saying, if we want to endure, we not only have to partner with the Holy Spirit and partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to partner with Jesus. And we do that by continually trusting and resting in him as our sure and only foundation of our life, and also by thinking about him. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed or stayed on thee. And I shared with the 9 o'clock group, it is my conviction that we will endure and persevere as Christians only to the degree we think about Jesus. So a question we all need to ask ourselves is, how much do I think about Jesus every day? How much does my mind tend toward Jesus? Am I truly taking note of him? Is he the supreme object of my concentrated reflection? Because the more I think we would think about him, the more we would realize the strength, the encouragement, the comfort that we could get simply by turning our minds upon Jesus. So what a great way to transition to our time of the Lord's table. Because again, why did Jesus have this with his disciples? Because he wanted them to remember him. And so I hope that through our time of worship and our time of preparation of taking the elements this morning, that all of us might take this time to take note of Jesus and think about who he is and what he's done for each of us. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. I'm just going to ask all of you to remain seated. And when Nicole and the worship team begin to lead us, Teresa and her team will begin to pass out all the elements. After all the elements have been passed out and everyone has been served, then I will come back up on the platform and we will all stand and we will all partake of the elements together. Let me just transition us to a word of prayer. Father, I pray today that all of us, Lord, might remember that, Lord, today we have a God-given window of opportunity. That, Lord, we can't presume that we're going to have another opportunity just like today. And you don't want us to postpone to tomorrow what you're moving in us to do today. So, God, I pray that we would be right there with you, partnering with the Holy Spirit, partnering with our Savior Jesus, and even partnering with one another in the days ahead. God, help us to see that you give us these partnerships as invaluable tools to be able to endure and persevere. So God, help us in this time of reflection right now, before we partake of the elements of your table, to take note of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.